You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass, 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 brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is the show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And what I want to focus on today, which I feel is very important, is cryptocurrency. Crypto at one point was seen as an outlier, you know, over the past decade, right? They called it a scam. You had people, you know, utilizing all types of terminology to debunk it. Fake currency, digital money created for money laundering and drug trafficking, to name a few. But the reality is this. Those that have been paying attention, those smart people, they've been seeing what the potential is. And that's key. What is the potential? From the inception with Bitcoin, people were trying to figure out what can happen there. Those that saw it, you know, Bitcoin wasn't the first cryptocurrency and it's not going to be the last, but it was the one that worked. So they figured it out. And now you had many, many smart people mapping it out and figuring out how this is going to work into the biggest scheme of things, right? Crypto is here to stay. That's the reality. It's here to stay. It will become a major asset class. There's no question about it. It's getting there now. It is the evolution of the financial industry. Let me stress that. The evolution of the financial industry. I've been in this business a while, and the financial industry was in need of something to overhaul it, to make things better, more efficient, okay, more cost effective. And this is it. We're going to see more tokenization of assets, in my opinion, this upcoming year, 2025, more than ever before. From stocks and bonds to commodities and real estate, it's happening. You're going to see the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, okay? You're going to see the commodity exchanges. You're going to see international exchanges all embrace it because it makes sense. It makes sense. You have Ripple that they've been doing stuff in this space for a while. Okay. And of course, the token and the company, two different things, you know, but that's a story for another day. The point of the matter is the innovation and how you can go make it work to make things cheaper for people to go send something to someone, to go trade without worrying about something transpiring, to prevent any possibility of potential fraudulent activity, bad actors, you know, naked shorts and the like. This is all going to be resolved, and you know, thank blockchain technology, thank the, you know, cryptocurrency for it, and it's going to happen. All right, it's only now that the mainstream is beginning to believe what we've all believed in over the past decade. Okay, they're only now beginning to believe. It took financial heavyweights like BlackRock to say something and say, hey, wait a second, we got a light bulb moment, this is the future. And not only did they say it, they put their money behind it, ETFs, so on and so forth. They pushed the envelope. They're the ones that thank them. Thank them for Bitcoin ETFs existing. Because remember, you know, you have these ETFs. They have to hold the asset. So they have to acquire the asset to do it. So that further takes the tokens out of circulation and puts them in place because you really, you know, you can't go and liquidate them, right? The whole basis of having them, so you give the general public an easier path to getting involved in a crypto market. Okay. You have Fidelity and others that came to the table in order to get not only the attention, but the respect of the investment community. And we're here. Okay. Respect is happening. When you have the older generation, people that are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, mentioning Bitcoin and crypto, even if they don't understand it, they've heard it. So they're learning about it even at that age, and that's fantastic. You know, you have a global economy, for lack of a better phrase, a global economy. And it's beyond Bitcoin. It's with cryptocurrency in general. Okay, I'm not talking about meme coins and all that crap that's out there. I'm talking about real utility with a blockchain. And this is what we're seeing, right? This is what's happening. Bitcoin, you know, look, they reached new highs since the re-election of President Donald Trump. That was an amazing milestone. You know, there's been a battle with the SEC and other regulators around the world because of this woke ideology. They were trying to go and insert this into the crypto space and so on and so forth. But then what happened? No one's looking at what was needed to go and put some basic regulations in place and say, hey, these are the rules, play by them, go have fun. Okay, that was never done. Why? Because the SEC thought that they had everything in place from 1933 that it can work today. And the reality is, it's like saying, well, I have components from a car from 1933 and it's going to work in a Tesla today. It's not going to happen. Tesla is the innovation. That is the next iteration of vehicles, right? Now, you can't take stuff from 100 years ago and put it in place there. It won't work. Just imagine taking something from even, you know, 20 years ago and trying to connect it to your television. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So that innovation was important. Okay, now, Bitcoin, you know, it hit over 85,000 as of this podcast since President Donald Trump was reelected. And then on a landslide, by the way, a landslide. You're talking about, you know, he had more coverage on the map with the Republican Party than Verizon. It was ridiculous, but this is what transpired. And it's for the better. It's for the better not only of this country, but of the world. Because trust me when I tell you that you're going to have other countries that are going to follow suit. They're going to see, wait a second, we got to be more proactive here. We can't be reactive and wait for something to happen for us to act on it. They're being proactive. They're getting things done. They're going to get things done. They're not doing it now, but they will. Yes, some countries that have been proactive and they've been doing things, right? Now, this whole flare-up is going to happen. It's going to be good for the crypto community. All right. A lot of critics with Bitcoin, they believe that it can go to over 100,000 by year end. And the reality is that's not a far stretch. You know, we're sitting at about 85,000 for it to go, you know, an additional X percentage when you have Bitcoin that can swing either way, you know, by a large margin in a short period of time. The thing about Bitcoin, if you realize, it's not having those dramatic drops that it once has. Going from 40 to 20, from 40,000 to 20, from 30,000 to 18. It's not doing that. Okay, you're talking about some stability coming into that market. And it's going to be interesting. Okay, you have other people that see it going to 150,000 by early 2025. You know, the reality is, could it happen? I think it can. I think when you have the supply, that it keeps, you know, basically, when no more coins, when the coins are, when you're mining them and they're not coming, okay, you're talking about a supply and demand issue, right? You know, the miners are going to go out, they're going to continue to mine. Right now, the miners, they are in heaven because now they can actually feed the machine. Because the point is, if Bitcoin was at 30, 35, it would be difficult because you can't, how are you going to turn it around? You need the capital to do it, especially with the new chips and everything and the new servers that are coming out. You need to do something more to be energy efficient. So this jump in Bitcoin just renewed life. And it's unfortunate that it's happening now because you had the miners from a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that went out of business. Okay, or they sold out to other players. And it's the way of the world, it's business, right? You know, you have a lot of positive motion going on in this space. Okay, and I'm going to tell you something. It takes a set of stones, a huge set of stones, to go all in on something that's that could be so volatile. But it is the belief. It is the belief in what's in front of you that drives you, that would drive you to go and go all in. Okay, you may not like him. You may like him. You may think that he's out of his mind, but I'm going to tell you something. Michael Saylor of MicroStrategy, this guy has a set of stones, huge set of stones, because he went all in with his company, a publicly traded company, went all in without regret, without thinking twice of it, about it, going in and accumulating what he can, because he sees where things can be in the next 5-10 years. Okay, and the reality is, if you're picking up something at 30, 40, 50, 60,000, and in the next 2 years, it is at $500,000. Is that a win? That's a big win. Big win. The president of Salvador doing the same. And he put big stones going and putting everything on the line and betting big on Bitcoin. And he's winning. Right? You have your Ricardo Salinas, he also Mexican billionaire, and others that not only used their words, they executed. They executed, they continue to execute. MicroStrategy just bought more because they had the ability to. Because what's going to happen as it goes higher, you're going to have people that had it at 20 that are going to say, you know what, I'm out. That's okay, he'll take it. Because you know what? You know, you have MicroStrategy buying it at 70, let's say, 75, 80, whatever it is. And in the next year or two, it is at in the hundreds of thousands. It's a win. So he'll pick up the crumbs, and he's going to. And other people are going to be, oh, my God, I should have waited. I should have, could have, would have, but you didn't. You didn't. Okay, what, you know, look, here goes the reality. With Bitcoin, and I'm talking about Bitcoin. I'm going to talk about other tokens in a minute, but this set the stage for everything. This opened all doors. This was your talisman of passage for what's going to be in the future. What has been done over the past 4 years? If you how can I put it? If you invested into Bitcoin over the past 3-4 years. You're not at a loss at all, right? If you ride the ups and the downs, the hills and the valleys, you know, you're ahead of the game today. What has happened over the past 4 years is that it has increased the valuation of MicroStrategy tremendously, just them having it on their books. Same thing with Tesla. They have it on their books. It increased their valuation. It has helped El Salvador to rise out of debt. And I'm sure the wealth of Ricardo Salinas has increased tremendously. No one that has held Bitcoin for 3 to 4 years, or in from the time they acquired 3 to 4 years, has lost on it. So here goes the thing. As much as people love to trade, they love that Las Vegas gambling, you know, feeling, they get excited. Holding. It's about holding, not trading. It's about believing, not riding a short wave. It's about being there for the good and the bad. And you're going to appreciate the good times because they're coming, and they're coming strong. Now, I want to shuffle towards the altcoins, you know, because Bitcoin isn't the only value out there in the crypto space. You have Ethereum. That has risen up from about $2,200, something like that, to the $3,200 range as of now, right? It hasn't hit its all-time high because it went close to, I think, 4,000 or maybe above 4,000 at one point, but it's inching up. Now, do I think it's a buy and a hold? Look, I really can't say that, because of everything that's revolving around it. You know, they served a purpose, and they actually made some big headway, and now they're growing up, they're evolving. You know, so what is going to happen with the blockchain and whatnot, I can't say, but you know, and the way I look at it, it may be more of a book of profit type of trade. as you move along, you know, is trading in and out as opposed to Bitcoin, you know. So this is where it can get a little interesting. Now, there are a lot of factors that are involved here that are different than Bitcoin that come into play. So you just have to be vigilant and understand that this is not just, it's not like Bitcoin. It's something different. You don't have, even though they have a burning mechanism, you don't have a maximum supply that it'll achieve. The tokenomics are just a little bit different. Actually, a lot different, you know, so you just have to be careful about that, you know. And, you know, like Bitcoin has the high fees, Ethereum has that as well. And since they transformed from proof of work to proof of stake, it has changed things a little bit. You know, I think that, you know, I think we'll see. We'll see what transpires with that. And again, I'm giving my view on this. Solana, you know, this is an interesting story. It hit a 3-year high, sitting at, I think, about 215 as of this podcast. And the utility of the blockchain is where the value is. Granted, their background and who invested in it in the beginning with FTX and Bankman-Fried and all this other stuff, you know, puts a little cloud on top of it, right? A little cloud with sprinkles. But the blockchain itself and what they've done is where the value is. It's scalable and the possibilities are numerous. You know, there has been a lot of chatter over the past couple of years as far as the control of the blockchain itself. And I want to put my view out there on this, because people need to understand. They should, and they should want to understand that, you know, you need an organization nurturing and innovating for the betterment of the chain and the community. Remember, Solana is not Bitcoin. Okay, Ethereum needs the community, needs all this stuff for them to go function. They needed the foundation behind them to go and continue to innovate. And Solana is no different. And so are other viable chains. They're no different. You need the community. You need to be able to innovate. And the only way you're going to innovate as you're building a community is by somebody being proactive, and that is the group behind it. They have to be proactive, because without that, guess what? Solana wouldn't amount to much. So the community should actually, say thank you. Thank you for the people that are behind this innovating and growing. Thank you for making this happen, because you have increased the value of what's in front of us, and it allows us to participate and ride this. And that's what should be happening. Now, this takes us to Piku Novus, right? Another interesting story. It was launched in 2017 without a lot of fanfare. You know, in 2022, it underwent a total overhaul, total to the bones, and pretty much made the blockchain a powerhouse. As with Solana, having a group working behind the scenes to innovate is key. And although Megahoot Technologies didn't create the blockchain, it certainly was the tip of the spear in the overhaul and continual innovation of the blockchain. It hit new highs as of this podcast of about $71 range. It's certainly just waking up. It hasn't, you know, there's been no marketing, no crazy things going on with it. And that's why I like it, because the point of the matter is it's not tainted by all the things that are out there. So basically, it hasn't achieved the heights that it should be at with what they have in play, right? It's essentially just waking up, and as the community begins to take notice, it'll start taking on a life of its own. The true value of this chain is its speed, security, and extremely low fees. I mean, on a peer-to-peer basis, if you're sending tokens on a peer-to-peer basis from your wallet, you have zero fees. If you can believe it or not, zero fees there. That's the way it was created. You have an implanted, integrated escrow system and so many other things that are involved there that make it even better. You have major platforms as we speak that are being built on the chain. You know, they're not, you know, some of these platforms are using components of the blockchain for the security and speed and so on and so forth. But it is furthering to increase its utility and the value add. Okay, the chain as a whole hit 110,000 transactions per second last year, and they're continuing to push the envelope. Now, let's move to Dogecoin. Okay, this little puppy, Bow Wow, has begun to grow up, and that is because of the advocacy of Elon Musk over the years. Now that Elon Musk is an integral part of the Trump administration that's going to be rolling in, the utility of Dogecoin becomes interesting. The question has been coming up, you know, will it be integrated into X? Will it not? Is this going to be utilized for some payment structure in there? Is Elon Musk going to take his PayPal, you know, experience and put it into this? We don't know, but if I had to guess, I would imagine there's going to be some type of integration there because it does make sense. The price itself, from all the speculation, has skyrocketed from the single-digit pennies to over 31 cents a token over the past week or so. Now, here goes the thing, guys, and I'm going to say this so that hopefully you hear me. Cryptocurrency will be here to stay. Let me say it again. Cryptocurrency will be here to stay. Not for a minute, but forever. Forever, ever, forever, ever. It will grow to be an essential investment class. No question. No amount of old financial thinking will change that. It's the will of the people that generally will make it become what it should be, a major asset class, just like stocks and commodities, is there. If I had to give any advice, and trust me, I'm not giving any investment advice to anyone, but if I had to give just general advice, it would be to stay away from the meme coins and the hype coins and the things of that nature, because this is abundant. There is an abundance of scams and rug pulls and everything that occur out there, and please protect yourselves. Stick with what lies in the future. If you're looking for that quick hit, that get rich quick type of thing, like flipping houses and the like, okay, it may not come, and you may get hurt. You may get really, really hurt. Just be careful. And if you have questions about anything in crypto and you're not really aware of it, please reach out to someone that does know a lot about this that you trust so they can help you. Don't be a victim. Okay, don't be a victim. Be a victor, not a victim. Now, again, as I said, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Pico Novus, Dogecoins, these are things that would make sense to look at, right? That would make sense to look at. Again, I believe that the future is bright. The cryptocurrency space will be bright. The blockchain space will be bright. The artificial intelligence space will be bright. This is the future of everything. And we're just getting warmed up. We're just getting warmed up. The reality is we haven't even gotten to the plate to swing yet. And wait until that happens. Ooh, it's going to be something amazing. But anyway, I want to thank you guys on this Veterans Day, and I want to go and thank all the veterans that have, you know, everyone has given some. There's just some that gave all, and they're in my prayers today. And I just want to thank you for your service and what you've done to allow us as a nation to be able to do the things we're doing and have the freedoms that we have and have the ability to have cryptocurrency. Think about it. Without these freedoms, cryptocurrency wouldn't be here. So I want all you guys that are listening to this to understand that without these freedoms, we would not have cryptocurrency, believe it or not. Okay. Anyway, that's it for this episode of Money Never Sleeps. I want to thank you for joining me, and I'll be back with you with another episode. As I said, yeah, eventually I will wind up bringing other people on the show to share their views, their insights, and we'll have opposing insights so that we can give a more robust view of the good, the bad, and the ugly in the financial markets. Until then, you guys have a great trading day, and thank you so much for being a part of what we're doing. Take care.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio. In your face.
What is your major malfunction?
Oh, let it be written.
So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Belathkef and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.